Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 213. And like most of the time, it is brought to you by Amazon. You can go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. You make any purchases thereafter for a while, and we get a little bit of a kickback, helps us support the show and the site. And with me this week is Bob. How's it going, Bob?
What is up, everybody? It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. It's podcast night.
It is Wednesday. It is podcast night. And a lot to talk about this week. I was really excited, and then I just went out and got Chinese food and I ate it all.
Now
I'm
really tired. You're about to fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I have a monster here. I'm like, you know.
My wife had to work a little late tonight, and I was outside with the kids, and she's like, we don't have anything planned for dinner. I'm just gonna grab, I was like, go get some Taco Bell. So I'm kind of in the same thing. I'm like,
you had Taco Bell?
Yeah.
I think every time I go to Taco Bell now, I have to get five different things. It's like,
Taco Bell? Or are you saying Taco Bell? I think it's a regional thing.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into this stuff. First, Ryan didn't touch on our merch store. I don't have my sweatshirt on.
Well, I talked about the Amazon link, but yeah, we also have the merch store.
Yeah. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/merch, you can get some cool t-shirts, mugs, things like that. I wish I had a t-shirt to tell you about, but I'm just not wearing it. So, cool stuff there as well. So if you guys want to check that out, but, also if you are following along on the live stream, or if you're listening and you want to follow along, you know, on your computer, we have our show notes page, which is right in the description, that you guys can go ahead and check out. So here's your full show notes, so you can follow along with everything that we're going to talk about this week. We'll start off with a really awesome motherboard. For X570, when it comes to mini ITX, there's not a whole lot. I believe there's three, at most four motherboards. So you're really limited. And the great thing about mini ITX is, of course, size. So you can see the size of the motherboard here that we're going to be talking about. So if you want to build a really small system that's really powerful, especially when it comes to Ryzen 3000 series, I mean, you can do full 16-core, 32. You can do a full 16-core, 3950X on this. And it's in such a small form factor where and then you strap on a 2080 Ti, 64 gigabytes of DDR4. I mean, you're looking at an awesome system.
Yeah.
And you can do a Gen 4 NVMe drive on this as well. So it's just there's just a lot on this board. So the board that we're talking about today is from ASRock. It's their X570 Phantom Gaming ITX TB3. And the reason it's called TB3 is that because you have Thunderbolt 3 on this. So out of all of the mini ITX X570 boards, it is the only one that gives you Thunderbolt 3. And what's great about that is it kind of just expands what you could really do with it. There's so many things that you can run on Thunderbolt 3, whether it's storage, whether it's displays. You can daisy chain different devices through Thunderbolt. So it really opens up, because it's such a small board, you have limited connections on the back, that really opens it up. So if you are doing something where you need that 40 gigabit per second transfer speed, this is the only board that's going to do it. So that's a big, thing with this board. One thing I really like about this board too, is that ASRock really thought about it as far as design. So when you look at the CPU socket here, you have your VRMs and your power delivery components. One, they use the same VRM design they do on their full-size boards, but they've actually upgraded the power delivery components to a higher grade, because they know they're going to need it on this board, so that they won't get as hot. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that they've done. And then secondly, that you can see there are...
large heat sinks.
Yeah, there's large heat sinks here. But what they've done, VRM cooling, we saw it on Intel, of course, that can cause throttling and things like that. But this heat sink here, the entire IO cover is metal.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, is that really going up there and turning itself into a large heat sink? That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So that you can kind of see it, that this whole thing is metal. Mm-hmm. So that's just like another way, you know, you're in such a confined space with this board that being able to do that, and you can even see there's like heat pipes in there and everything too. It's like they really thought a lot about placement on this board. Now, one thing you're looking at here is if you look at the socket, can you tell me why does this AM4 socket look weird to you?
So the mounting brackets are totally different.
Yeah, so what they've done is, you know, with AM4, you would have a mounting bracket up here and a mounting bracket down here. What they've done instead is to save room, because that just takes up space. That would, you know, really take up a lot of space. What they've done is they've put in standard Intel mounting holes here. So their thought is that you can use any, you know, LGA 1150 or 115X cooler on this, you know, and it saves space on the board. Now, that necessarily wasn't the case because of the fact that this is so high, the actual the fan down here is so high too, that there's only like I tested 3 coolers and none of them fit.
Oh man.
But like an AIO would fit fine.
Do they give any recommendations at all?
Yeah, so they have a compatibility list. It's almost all AIOs and very small, low-profile coolers. So the thing that's kind of a bummer about that is that, one, this is a Ryzen board. Your Ryzen processors will come with a cooler, which means you don't have to buy another one, but you can't use it on this board, which is kind of a bummer. And two, like for our testing, we would use a high-end Noctua cooler, but it won't fit on here. So if you're looking, I know a lot of people like to do that. They like to get that big heatsink for this mini ITX, so it just looks like this big monstrosity thing, you know? You can't do that on this. There's not a whole lot of coolers that will actually fit on here, which is a little bit of a bummer. But besides that, you still get like your full cooling here too for the chipset. So the chipset sits right here, right above the X16 slot. You have an M.2 on the back as well. So the M.2. And the one thing is that I was kind of bummed out with the M.2 is that most Gen 4 M.2 drives, they run hot. You need them. You need like some type of cooling. The coolers that we've seen on Gen 4 drives are pretty heavy duty and thick. And if you think about it, if it's pretty thick, you might not even be able to mount a Gen 4 drive back here with its stock cooling option. You know what I mean? So like I would have liked to see some type of, even if it's just like a thin piece of metal, you know what I mean, back here for the Gen 4 drive. That was like my only thing about this as well. The board itself performs great. You have integrated IO shield as well. That's kind of standard on X570 boards, but you have that. It has
Wi-Fi. Like there's some room where they could have put some more USB ports almost.
Yeah, I think that was the kind of like they just put the Thunderbolt 3 there and they're like, you can, you know,
yeah,
you could connect this to like a 6-port USB hub and they'd all have full
plenty of bandwidth and everything.
Yeah, but it's. Yeah, it's kind of lacking. You only have 4 USB ports there. You know, you do have Wi-Fi 6, which is great as well. So this board's like pretty fully loaded. Yeah, like you said, the USB ports is a little lacking. It did great in our performance testing and everything like that, as well as overclocking. We were actually pretty stable at 4.3 gigahertz, which is really good. I think that has a lot to do because instead of using our air cooler, we used an AIO on this.
Yeah, that
helped. So that helped out a lot, but fully stable at 4.3 gigahertz on our 3900X. And you can see the little jerry rig I had to do to get everything working.
Yeah, you were sending me pictures of that and you're like, look at this. It was it was rigged for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I would really suggest an AIO if you're doing this. But I think that if you have this all planned out in your head, you know you're going to get an AIO. I mean, you can build just an awesome system.
The compatibility of parts that this supports is like pretty impressive,
and the fact that it's so powerful in such a small state, they did work out. Like, I mean, we're running a 3900X, which is one below that's the top line when it comes to Ryzen desktop. We overclocked it; it ran fine. We had no VRM problems. That's the thing you worry about with these smaller boards is that the power delivery components either aren't cooled well or they aren't spaced out enough where you get adequate cooling, but you have that here. So even if you wanted to run an overclock system, in such a small form factor, you really wouldn't have, like, you don't have to worry about it. So I think that if, you know, if you're looking at the three or four mini ITX boards that are out there, this has the Thunderbolt 3. The VRMs are done correctly. I haven't reviewed any of the other ones, so I can't tell you what that's about, but I really like this board. The cooler compatibility is kind of like an issue if you don't plan on running an AIO. And I just would have liked to have seen some type of Gen 4 NVMe cooling, because again, you're not going to be able to fit a thick heatsink back there. You're just not.
There, yeah.
So even like, again, a thin piece of aluminum would have been fine for me, just to keep that down. But yeah, I believe I gave it a 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. It's only $219.99 too, which I don't feel is overpriced for what you're getting, especially Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have that a little bit of that premium for mini for ITX.
Yeah,
570. So that doesn't seem horrible.
Like, I like it. It has, like I said, Wi-Fi 6, USB 3.2 Gen 2. You know, so
no RGB on there, right?
There is
RGB headers.
It has two RGB headers. It has one standard one, 3-pin addressable, and let me see what page that's on. I believe it's on page 4.
I may have missed it. So,
no, page 3. is that there is some RGB. It will get covered by a graphics edge card. Yeah, but it's the bottom edge is lit as well. So yeah, like I said, it's a good board. I like it. I would highly recommend it. I would love to have like a full, if I wasn't doing like video encoding and, you know, encoding 4K video and needed all the space, like having just like a small little rig that you could, you know, just be super powerful. And that I could pick up literally and take with me somewhere, it would just be awesome to have with this board. So definitely check out this review. Highly recommended there for sure.
Cool.
But yeah, and you took a look at a case this week.
Yep.
You took a look at one from Silverstone, and we haven't reviewed a case from Silverstone, I feel like, in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw one maybe like right after CES 2018, something that they showed off, and we got it in for a review. But yeah, so I took a look at the, I don't know if it's SATA or SATA. I'm just going to call it the SATA A1 case.
SATA,
yep. The Silverstone SATA A1. Getting a quick look at it, like, it looks almost like a classy, I keep going back to the word classy, of the, especially because of the front panel. It's got a very large aluminum front facade to it, a large sheath there that kind of has some nice bends and wraps around the sides, and it kind of has a waved like top and bottom it to
it. It reminds me, if anybody listening or in the chat, it reminds me of the Thermaltake Soprano.
Okay.
If you, I'll bring that up here. I'll let you talk about it, but I'll bring it up really quickly.
So like above and below each one of those wave patterns on the top and bottom of that front case, there's two integrated RGB strips, addressable RGB strips. So it's got a little bit of like a back glow to it, so it looks like it's floating off of the case, which is really kind of cool. There's a controller included with the case. It gives you a couple options to use a like a button to change the lighting, or you can wire up, like we did in our review, wire up the reset button to cycle through those lighting modes.
Okay, cool. You can do that.
But aside from that front panel of the case and one other item, it's really a pretty standard mid tower case. Now the other item that's unique, which we're looking at right there, are the two 200 millimeter fans at the front of the case.
Now so, what's interesting is that if you're looking at the front of this, is that this intake
that mesh cutout looks like it's for 120 millimeter 140 millimeter fans, right?
Yeah, because you're not going to get all of that intake,
right? You're not going to get all that straight intake into the fans.
I mean, this is covered up anyways, right?
It is, right. Yeah. So you've got a gap between that metal panel and the plastic there. So there is a decent amount of air that can flow into it and then kind of make that 90 degree turn into the case. But those fans, right, typically you're going to run them slower. So the volume of air that they're kind of pulling through isn't necessarily a ton, right? They spin slower, but can move about the same amount of air.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, from our testing and use, it didn't seem like they were, starved at all. So that's kind of a different setup, but you can also put, you know, multiple 120s or 140s up front as well.
I just to show you guys the old case that this reminded me of.
Yeah,
this Thermaltake Soprano. It kind of looks like it. It's a little different now that I'm looking at it, but it's that's what it
should. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So, like I said, if you take that front panel out of the equation and those two fans, it turns into a very standard mid tower case.
That's the thing. I think, how much is this case? It's like $123,
$120 something. Yep.
And that's what I think. Silverstone used to be on the cutting edge. I have to say that. Especially I forget their
the TJ07 case.
Yeah, the TJs, like those were amazing. Internally, they were amazing. Even their first like generation Raven cases were really like cutting edge internally. And I think that this is what is separating these companies now that don't innovate internally is that you have. Oh, we'll go to the inside here. Like, I assume you have the same internal design.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, there's nothing like special inside. Like, you've got your standard placements. You've got your cabling. You've got a power supply shroud.
When you have other companies innovating internally and doing things and making it easier for the consumer, instead of just like this, this reminds me of like an OEM.
This could be any case.
Yeah,
from anybody like they're on the low end without the front panel.
The thing that bothers me about it is that they'll make 10 different SKUs with this internal layout, right? And that's just I'm not saying that Silverstone is doing that, but like that's just what it reminds me of. And it's like, yeah, like what is it like, you know, what is separating this case from every other one out there? Nothing really besides that front panel, like you said.
Right.
It's pretty standard. Nothing is actually, I would say, customized for this case. I mean, if you even look at it, like there's 200 millimeter fans, the cutout's not even to the full top of the fan. It doesn't support
the full size.
Yeah.
It looks like, oh, hey, we've got room for 200 millimeters.
Yeah. I like the idea of 200 millimeter fans as an intake. I like that idea, but execute it correctly, I would say.
Right. But yeah, so, you know, it's got a pretty standard layout. It's got vertical mount slots for a video card. There's no riser or
that's pretty standard. There.
But yeah, I mean, that's
does it have a Type C on it? I didn't see
it. It does have a Type C, which is nice. And I appreciate that. And it just has two other USB 3 Type A connections. There's no USB 2 here, which I mean, I think is going to become pretty standard, right? You're not going to have those USB 2 ports up front anymore. So that's not horrible or anything. System went into it fine. You know, it's a pretty standard build. It's got multiple spaces for 2.5-inch drives.
Looks like you have a decent amount of room in there.
It does, but that is also mean that,
that's a micro ATX
board. The build was super easy. You've got multiple options for your 2.5-inch drives as well. You can put them behind the motherboard or on top of that power supply shroud.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
For this controller, do they give you instructions how to connect your reset switch?
So with regards to instructions, and Silverstone's done this with the last two products I've looked at, this and the all-in-one cooler, you actually have to scan a QR code to get that manual. So I definitely recommend that, taking a look at that. But yes, there are instructions on how to do this.
Because I've reviewed cases where there's like no instructions for the RGB lighting at all.
And it could be confusing. You're like, okay, so is this supposed to go to this or that? Yes, they do.
Especially like a first time builder. Yeah.
And I also appreciated that the two light strips up front were wired together into a single connector. So it cuts down on a little bit of that tangle and everything. So you can see there the glow that kind of comes from the front of that case. Now, like straight on, it's not actually that bright and noticeable. Which was kind of disappointing. It almost shoots the light straight up and down as opposed to back.
You can kind of see how I would, right there.
Right, yeah, you can see it there, but it looks good. But again, it's a pretty generic case. I gave it an 8 out of 10 because it does everything you want it to. There's no problems with it, right? There's nothing wrong with the case. It's just not,
it's not innovative. I think we've come to a point where we have the Fantex and the Fractal design and the NZXT and the Corsair, where it's like they're always changing, they're always innovating, and most of the time they're affordable as well. And there's like another handful of other companies that are doing the same thing. And you know, that's why I feel like Silverstone, they used to be that company. They used to be in that list. And I just, at least from what I've seen, they haven't been.
Nope, I agree.
There. And like you said, it's $126, which I don't know at that price point. I mean, I think there's some other
case. I think there's better options at that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, it's, again, it doesn't, there's nothing wrong with anything that I, you know,
yeah,
really found with it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. It's definitely a different design, right? With, we're seeing a lot of cases with those flat front panels, but it's usually either tempered, like tempered glass with bad airflow or intake.
Yeah.
So this is just kind of a different look to that flat front end, a little, I keep going back to the word classy, look to it, brushed aluminum, and some intake there. So,
Adam asks if Silverstone is OEMing the case and just customizing the pretty stuff in the front. Possibly. I mean, we obviously don't know. It just seems like it. It just, like, you know, you do have this nice machine front here. You know, you
shout out to Haywood also.
Yeah. You have this nice, you know, like you said, this like pretty part with the ARGB like lighting, like, and then you just have this kind of generic internal design. So it could be that way. I'm not, you know, not exactly sure on that, but it just seems like they could take some time to design internally.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I agree. So we'll be using that case in an upcoming review as well for those light strips. So we'll see what those look like and kind of enhance the look of that case. So
nice.
Yeah.
And then I took a look at a headset, and it's not the one I have on. I've been using it all week, and I just put it over there. I was going to put it out, but now I don't have it with me. But I took a look at the Razer Kraken Ultimate gaming headset. It's almost the same as this one that I have on, but this is the Razer Kraken Tournament Edition. This is the Ultimate. So basically, it's their flagship gaming headset in the Kraken line. I think there's like 4 or 5 Kraken headsets. So the Ultimate is the flagship. It's the best one. And what I think they've really captured with this headset is comfort and the THX spatial audio. I talked about it with this because this headset has it as well. It is the real deal. Like, we play Apex, and when I'm playing Apex, like, I can distinctly hear when somebody is coming and where they're coming from. When I was with this headset, I was testing it off and then I turned it on, and like, I did so much better when I turned it on. I mean, I don't know if that's a direct correlation. It could have just been the game, but I could hear where people are coming from better. And I think that is the big thing. The big takeaway with this headset is that function in itself is why you would get this headset if you're a gamer. You know what I mean? The headset itself, like I said, it has that typical Razer design. Almost looks exactly like this one, slightly different. This one, I believe, is slightly lighter, and this one's heavier. With this one, I can't even show you because it's under the table, but with this headset, the Tournament Edition, they had a little USB controller that you could sit on your desk. I have it mounted under my desk, which had all your controls on it. With this one, they made it so much easier. It's just a USB connection that goes in your computer, and then you have the controls on your headset. So you have a volume. Let's see here. You have your volume slider here, and then this turns on THX spatial audio. That's pretty much it. And then you have your pull-out microphone. And what's really cool about the microphone is that, one, as soon as you pull it out, it automatically unmutes it.
Cool.
But then you can just press the tip in, like press it, and it will mute as well, which is pretty cool there. The headset itself is mainly made of aluminum. The outer structure and everything is all aluminum, so it can take a beating. And one thing I really liked, especially about this headset and that one, is that they've designed it, I think it's just like the perfect amount of like foam up top and the ear cups. Like, the ear cups are designed to go fully over your ears. And when I'm using this for long periods of time, like we have those long gaming sessions, my ears aren't sweaty. There's no like strain on my, you know, on my head or on my ears. It's just like the perfect, they just have like that sweet spot. I think they just have it figured out with this headset.
Yeah, it's tough to do like correctly, because some headsets you put on and like they just feel like they're like your ears start to hurt. Like
my big one used to be was that my ears would get sweaty inside. Like if I had a full, like this headset, like if I had a full one that covered my ears would get sweaty and I'd be like, it'd be just distracting, you know? But they have it, like I said, they have it done really well. The actual ear cups, they have cooling gel inside.
So is that a different material than is on the sides of them? Because that almost looks like a softer.
It's like a it's different. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, it's a little different than what's actually on the sides. So yeah, like I said, I really like this headset. They basically the tournament edition was made for like tournaments, like esports. This one is more for the home. So they've added RGB lighting. Again, they put the it's just one connection, like I said, the one single USB connection here. And then the microphone is actually active noise canceling. So it's going to block out background noise. So again, this is made for at home. So, you know, you're playing and you have kids or pets in the background, it's going to actively cancel out that. And I actually did a test. I think it's on page 4 of the review where you can go ahead and listen to, you know, with noise canceling turned off and then with it turned on to hear the difference. There is a difference. It will do what it says. It's not the best. All of these microphones on headsets are not the best. Right. We always say if you are going to stream, get a microphone like this because it's going to sound better. But for a headset microphone, it's good enough. Your teammates are going to hear you or people in Discord are going to be able to hear you no problem. And yeah, like I said, it's backed up by software. The Razer Synapse software is great. It allows you to do a lot of different things. It allows you to, you know, select different apps. If you turn THX Spatial Audio on, you can have it, you know, certain apps will run it, certain apps won't. You can do a bunch of stuff with the microphone. You can change EQ settings. You can do all that. It works really well. So I give this at a 9 out of 10 and recommended award. It's $129.99. I think for what you're getting, again, the THX Spatial Audio is like the big seller here. And I think that it's just so seamless. It works no problem. I don't have to install other software for it to work. Like I just have to install the Razer software. And one thing that Razer does is that as soon as you plug the headset in, it installs the software that they, I think them and I think Asus, when you do their motherboards, are like the only two companies that do that. I think that's just great for the beginner too. Like, you know, you're building your first computer, you never used a gaming headset before, you plug it in, it installs the software automatically for you. You know what
I
mean?
Yep.
So yeah, like I said, 9 out of 10. Definitely check out that review. It is it's a good headset. And I will be switching it out with this one. I just need to do all my cabling under this to make it so it's not all over the place.
Not all over. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like it because the tournament edition is green.
Super bright green.
Yep. But it's like look at this. It's just all over the place.
This is the only place you're gonna use it, right? You're not gonna take it with you anywhere. And,
whereas the this one's the ultimate. Yeah, the ultimate is available in the black, and it does have the RGB lighting. And of course, you gotta have
RGB RGBs.
So check out that review. Really good headset there. And then we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and talking about case manufacturers who they were at the top of their game, and I think it's gone downhill. This case, I wouldn't say it's brought them back, but everybody has this case. This is almost a copy of another case, but
I mean, it's brought some attention back to them at least. Yeah,
this is the first build that I've seen in this case, or first mod that we've seen in this case. So this is the Green Machine Antec Torque from customrigs.de. I mean for like an Antec case, I mean, it looks awesome.
It looks sweet. Yeah. It just, I immediately think, oh, this looks like that other, you know, the Cougar case, right?
Yeah. It is different.
And
in some ways, I think what he's done, like, I love the colors on this, the white. You don't see white as much with the green, I don't think, especially like the decaling and stuff here. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. It just, like I said, it looks awesome.
I like those fans too. The heat killer, is that what they are? Not heat killer. I don't think that's right. It was listed in the noise blockers. Yeah. Their design. Cool. I have one of their 120 millimeter fans, and they're actually really nice. fans. So
nice. It looks like their blades are a little different.
They're a little different, yep, and they're connected around the outer. Typically, at least on their other model, that's
similar. Yeah, it looks like they are.
So that's pretty sweet.
But yeah, this is, like I said, it's just like, you know, and then he has the T-Force SSDs that have the little screen on them, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
And you can kind of see those over there. That's what's great about these open air cases is, like, you can show off your hardware. So you should get, like, hardware
there. Yeah, you see so much more of it, really. Like,
yeah.
Of course, that also means, like, if you don't do a build like this, all your wiring and everything's showing and may not look awesome, but in a build like this where they're taking the time and obviously have quite a bit of skill, it looks
pretty sweet. Yeah, like I said, I really like it. There's a video and everything of the whole build and we have in there too, but I just think the colors just go well together. Like green, this neon, like I think that was like the original modders color for water cooling was like green. I remember
because they would use, you'd have transparent tubing and they were essentially just using like antifreeze.
Yeah, which was
liquid in there. And so everything was green, right?
You know why antifreeze was that color?
I don't know.
Because antifreeze used to not be that color. And then
people drink it. And...
No, people would kill other people.
With it,
with the antifreeze. This is my Kayla watches Forensic Files and it's always on there.
I know, like, yeah, like people set it out for animals and stuff to like,
yeah. So, like, that's why antifreeze
is green, huh?
Neon green. You learn something every day.
I mean, it is sweet, like,
yeah, no, like I said, and like, I love these. This is this is Bits Power, right?
Their stupid dragon logo.
You don't like it?
Sorry, was that out loud? I don't like it. I don't like it.
I love their fittings of the dragon logo. I don't know.
No, I don't like strong branding like that. I don't know.
But I do like this. What is this thing called?
That's your thermometer, like inline thermometer.
Yeah.
Is it built into the block?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Temperature gauge. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. So definitely check out this build. Shout outs to customrigs.de for an awesome build. And again, if you want to see even more builds, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So you guys can go ahead and check that out. And I think we're on we might be close to 24 hours left for our Fractal Design.
It's got to be close.
26 hours. So just over a day left on our giveaway here, guys. If you haven't got in, we just passed over 8,000 entries into this, but we're giving away a Define 7. We did a review and a video review on this case. Probably going to be one of my favorite cases of 2020. So much you can do with this case. We're giving away the white version, which I think it's only white and black. I think the white looks so much better. Mm-hmm. Especially when you get some like RGB lighting in there and things like that. But yeah, super easy to enter. It is US only. But like I said, awesome giveaway there. Thanks to Fractal Design for, you know, providing that for us. But yeah, 26 hours left. So if you're listening to this on audio, hopefully you listen to it before the time's up so you can get your entry in. But we already talked to another company about another giveaway coming up, and then we have another one after that as well. So lots of giveaways coming up. So if you don't win this, we will have more, and we'll definitely let you guys know about that. And moving on to news. There's been a couple big stories. I think the big one was AMD had their Financial Analyst Day, or was it? Yeah, it was Financial Analyst Day. Was it not? Financial Analyst Day. So Financial Analyst Day is where AMD invites financial analysts and has a webcast talking about their new products so people buy their stock. So these analysts can go back and tell their clients to either invest or not to invest in AMD. So during this Financial Analyst Day, the big talk was about RDNA 2 GPU architecture. So when AMD debuted RDNA with 7-nanometer, and that happened in 2019, it basically achieved almost 50% gain in performance per watt over Vega. Which was not surprising because we were moving from, what was Vega, 12?
I'd have to look.
I think Vega was 12-nanometer. Moving from 12-nanometer down to 7-nanometer. 14. I knew it was one of those. From 14 down to 7, you would expect a 50% gain. But they are expecting with RDNA 2, which will also be 7-nanometer, but it would be a more refined 7-nanometer, they say that they are expecting a similar 50% performance per watt increase, which is pretty, for being the same, yeah, pretty surprising. You know, they say 50% for RDNA, 50% for RDNA 2.
I like the image that shows like the Zen comparison to RDNA and Zen 2 yeah. to RDNA 2, like showing that, you know, like here's what we did in the CPU market. We've got a great design yeah. and methodology for this. So here's what we're seeing. And like the benefit of that in one market is like almost directly tied to their other product line. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you're right. Like, it does show, like, hey, we did this with Zen to Zen 2. Mm-hmm. Now on the GPU side, we're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, we've got a good process. We can, you know, move it over to another whole other industry and get those same similar gains.
I don't think that RDNA has been bad for them. You know, they didn't necessarily defeat NVIDIA, but they have a good product stack at good prices. At least I think they do. You know, and it's very, like, as yeah, I said so many times, I think it's very well defined compared to NVIDIA as well. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
We have three product lines, essentially, one more hopefully coming, as yeah. opposed to more than half a dozen from NVIDIA.
Yeah. So another thing they also announced is that they will be using real-time ray tracing and variable rate shading in RDNA 2. There will be dedicated hardware on die for ray tracing. So cool. As much as, at least in my opinion, ray tracing, yes, I know it's like a great technology and stuff, but it's not to the point where I think that if you're playing an online game that you should enable it. I just don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this feels again like the 3D TV, and it feels almost like VR, where it's like, here's something really cool that, yes, it works, but like it just has not gained the traction that I think they were hoping it would.
I do think that with AMD jumping on board with ray tracing, more developers will actually implement it correctly, and it will just, you know, more people using it, the better it's going to get, I think. Sure. So that was a big thing that they said as well. And they said that RDNA will be on everything, desktop, mobile, tablet. You know, this architecture moving forward will be on all devices that they can pretty much put it in. So and that's it's going to come out
21 and 22.
Yeah. Come out sometime in between 2021 and 2022. It will come out supposedly this year. It will be part of AMD's client products for the next 5 to 6 calendar quarters. And then the next generation after that will be in 2020. Sorry. Yeah. Like I said, it is, I like if this is what they're able to achieve, you know, 50%, and that they have this philosophy of what they did with their CPUs and they're bringing it to the GPUs. The biggest thing is like, yeah, like, you know, we knew we were going to see a big performance increase over GCN because it was new architecture and you were jumping from 14 to 7. So like, you knew.
It's pretty obvious, right? Yeah.
So let's see what you can, you know, just like with Ryzen, like, okay, yeah, like we expected the 40% IPC increase, but, you know, can you do this consecutively over multiple generations? So this is like, this next generation is going to be like the, okay, yeah, like we're into this now, you know what I mean? So that was the really interesting thing. And then another thing that they showed, which caught a lot of people's attention, is that they showed this little picture right here. It's kind of hard to see, I'll bring it up for you guys. This little picture right here, I kind of blew it up here for the bigger picture right here, but this is, they kind of showed this in one of their slides, and it shows a stock AMD, you know, reference card with a dual fan design, which they've been stuck on that blower, which I think is horrible design.
Yeah.
And we've seen how bad that design has caused sound and heat problems. And a lot of people noticed this. And on Reddit, Scott Herkelman, the vice president and general manager for Radeon, did confirm that there'll be no blowers on the next generation of cards, which is, I think, awesome. Yep. NVIDIA finally went through that when they announced their RTX cards. They have the dual fan design, much like this. I think it's more efficient. I think that it looks better. I think that's, you know...
Yeah, it just feels so much like more value. And like when you see a like reference card with a blower, you just feel like it's a less of a card than like an aftermarket or even, you know, an RTX card that has the dual fan design like they do now. Yeah, I think this is going to go a long way to even just helping sell those cards, right? Because you get that first look at these cards and you're like, oh, it's just got a blower on it. It's
And that's what I think the big thing is like people pay the premium for the Founders Edition NVIDIA cards. So like AMD's like, we need to come up with an awesome card that people want to buy, because when it comes to AMD cards, you really don't buy the reference card. Mm-hmm. You just don't. You buy an add-in board partner card because you get better cooling. It looks better. It's probably overclocked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so those are the two big AMD things this week. We'll move over to Intel. First, we have a leak of a 10th generation core processor. The Intel Core i5-10400. This is how we're saying this, 10400?
Sure.
Like, I think that's how people are going to say it.
I think, yeah, that's the easiest way. I think.
Yeah. So the i5-10400 was pictured and detailed. So somebody has their hands on one, as you can see, supposedly. And this will be a 6-core 12 thread. So the big change with Core i5 is that you're going to get hyper-threading. It's a way for them to remain competitive against AMD there. So this is 6-core 12 thread with 12 megabytes of shared L3 cache. The previous generation, the same chip, was 6-core 6 thread with only 9 megabytes of L3 cache. So again, just like seeing, you know, this increase. So this would be what? Is an 8700K 6-core, right? Or am I thinking that wrong? Right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So this would be like an 8700K under the Core i5 brand.
6-core.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. You know, like I said, these are just pictures. And that this, since this is a non-K version, it will only be 65 watts, which is great as well. But yeah, like just the upping from, you know, going from no hyper-threading to hyper-threading will allow these to become more competitive. And then upping the L3 cache will, of course, help as well. So yeah, so pretty excited. All these leaks make you think that these chips might be coming out very soon. But a little piece of news kind of leaked out that it might not be the case. This desktop workstation slide, this looks like an Intel slide. I've seen them before. Yep. But again, this could be doctored. We don't know. But this is for 10th generation core processors. And this press news embargo, it's really hard for you guys to see on the live stream, so I'm sorry. But if you go on the site, you can bring it up bigger. But it says April 13th through June 26, 2020. And typically when you see these, the press news embargo is one date. It's not a it's not a period of time. Now, some people are thinking that this has a lot to do with coronavirus. Yep. Is that motherboard manufacturers don't, you know, everything was shut down. They don't have the boards available. So like they just put this kind of weeks of dates. So like when everything is finally ready, they can launch. Which kind of makes sense considering everything going on.
I mean, I think you're going to, you know, reviewers and other, you know, folks are going to have this information and stuff prepared, right? They may have enough chips and boards to get them out for whenever that, you know, they feel like they have enough supply for the rest of the, you know, the market. But yeah, leaving that range open, I'm sure it probably has to do with this coronavirus.
The other suggestion, which we have seen before, it's mostly with higher end parts like Threadripper. Uh-huh. What we saw with staggered release dates is that, you know, we're going to see over 20 10th gen parts.
That's crazy.
You know, because you have a non-K, you have a K, and then you have a KF for every part.
Almost. So they just lump them in and say, yeah. Hey, throughout this time period, these are going to come out.
So we could see like them launch a flagship first, and then in a week launch the i5s, and then, you know, the i3s. It could be like that. That's what I'm really hoping, but we don't know. But it could be delayed all the way till June till we see something. Again, when it comes to supply and getting things, and like, you know, this whole coronavirus thing could even stop, you know, things getting into the U.S. as far as shipments. And we've already had that problem before with things being stopped with the whole Trump and all that with electronics. So we'll see. But as obviously, as soon as we know, we'll definitely let you guys know, you know, what the deal is, because, you know, 10th gen is going to be pretty big. It's going to be, I wouldn't say it's going to be like the getting back at Ryzen 3000 series. It's going to give Intel something that's moderately competitive against them, I would say. But yeah, on to a really interesting motherboard that was spotted. So when it comes to Ryzen 3000 series, you have X570.
Yep.
And you have X570.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. So you only
want. What do you want?
Yeah. So typically, you know, with previous, you had X470 and B450. B450 was, you know, not as many features, less USB, you know. Cheaper, it's more right? for mainstream. It's more for system integrators. It's, you know, to keep things a little cheaper when you don't need all those features. Mm-hmm. But for Ryzen 3000 series, we really haven't seen B550. That's what we've been looking for.
Right.
There was a B550A, which was only made available for system integrators, and it wasn't officially B550. And the big difference between B450 and B550 is that you're going to get Gen 4. So you're going to get Gen 4 for at least one PCI Express slot and Gen 4 for your M.2s. So this board appeared, Video Cards posted it. It's from Soyo. Which kind of makes sense because Soyo does make like system integrator boards. They're not so far as like a mainstream motherboard.
I mean, they used to be, right?
They like used to be, yeah.
A big name.
Yeah, and I believe they only sell in China now. I could be wrong. I'm not sure on that, but yeah, they used to be pretty big. But this is the board that it's obviously not finished because you don't even have like a covering on the chipset. You know, you don't have a heatsink on the chipset here. But this
type C connector on there.
Oh, where are you seeing that?
No, I asked, is there one?
I don't know.
I don't see like a front panel type C connector.
No, you might not see that on this board. But this is a B550 board. It's just like, when is AMD going to let these come out? I think a lot of companies have been ready for this, and have boards ready. It's just like, when does AMD want to let these out there? With X570 selling so well and the premium for those boards, it kind of...
Right, because, yeah, we did have kind of a price increase from the previous gen of boards, and people are paying it, right?
Like, yeah, people are paying it.
I was happy to pay for mine.
And that's, like, the premium that you're paying to get Gen 4 stuff, yeah. Right? Because it's the only platform.
And it's not a crazy premium, right? It's
no.
It's just... It's more than what we've been used to on a couple of the previous versions of AMD's chipsets. So
yeah, so this makes us think that we might see something, but we don't know. But I would like to see it. I have a couple B450 boards. I love them. They're great. Again, you put like a higher end chip on there that you're not going to overclock. You're still getting Gen 4, so you're getting super fast speeds on your SSD there. Like, pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So to see that for Ryzen
3000 series. This looks like a weird size too.
Well, yeah, because again, B550 was like, it's like really system integrator based, especially like on the mainstream type of boards, like not a gaming board. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like the width of a.
Yeah, it's weird. But we did see some B450 boards that were like this. Actually, I think MSI had a couple that were like kind of like this form factor.
Okay.
So yeah. So that is one interesting thing, and then another interesting thing is that. AMD, we saw that AMD had their merch. Well, yep. It looks like somebody else is getting some cool merch.
And merch train.
I actually like these. These are pretty awesome. Probably because I'm a Noctua fan. But Noctua is now selling hoodies. And the reason we're covering it, I just think they look cool.
Huge, like, drawstrings.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's too big.
But they have it in their typical Noctua brown. And they have a gray version. And then the backs say premium cooling solution. They actually look nice. Like, this looks like this is whatever you call that.
embroidered.
Yeah, embroidered. Yeah. It's a premium cooling solutions on the back. They look nice. They're $50 on Amazon right now. We have the links where you can pick them up.
I like the front. I don't like that text on the back.
You don't like the text on the back?
No, I think that looks horrible.
I kind of like it.
Not a fan. I do like the stitching on the front by like the pocket, though, the hoodie pocket. That's pretty nice. Just those little accents.
Yeah. And the oversized drawstring, as you said.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
No, it's horrible.
You don't like it. Well, in any case, if you are a fan of them, you can go pick one up. They're $50 on Amazon, and we have the links down here at the bottom. And what are we on here now? So NVIDIA GTC, we talked about it. It was canceled it was canceled because of coronavirus, which, of course, makes sense. Now, instead of having they said it was going to be an online event. Now they issued a statement that says it's going to be shared on March 24th, followed by an investor call. I don't know that this, because people thought because it's still going to be an online event, like he had some, like NVIDIA had something really big to show, but then this kind of makes me think that maybe it's not that big of an announcement. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's still a keynote.
Yeah, right? it's just weird. And then followed by the investor call, which is like not a normal thing. Like after a keynote. You know what I mean? So yeah. I guess that's just a way for questioning, right? Because typically you have a Q&A after. Wait, go ahead.
You just don't get those meetings afterwards like you would normally would.
Or like a Q&A after. But you can sign up at investor.nvidia.com and you can actually get in on the investor call if you want. I believe. The live webinar and everything we'll have a link for that whenever we get it. So you guys can watch it live if you want to. I'm just trying to think if like, do you think there will be a big GPU announcement?
No.
I don't think.
I feel like we would have seen more leaks by now.
Yeah, it's kind of been kind of slow on that. The past couple weeks have been kind of slow on that part too. So I guess we'll see. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Another kind of blow to NVIDIA when it comes to their streaming service is that another game publisher has taken their games off GeForce Now. So if you're not familiar, GeForce Now is NVIDIA's game streaming service where if you own a game and it's on GeForce Now, you can essentially like put in your key or whatever. As long as you own the game, you can put it on GeForce Now. And then if you pay a monthly fee, you can play the game on any device. So I can play it on I can play a AAA title on my iPhone, which is awesome, right? You could pretty much play whenever you're using their cloud GPUs and you're streaming the game to yourself, which is a great in theory. But it seems like so many of these publishers are pulling their games off of the service. We are not sure why. The list of companies that have pulled off have been Capcom, Electronic Arts, Konami, Remedy, Rockstar Games, Square Enix, Activision Blizzard, and Bethesda, and now 2K Games.
That's a ton.
Which is like a lot. Think about it, Blizzard, that's all of WoW and Overwatch. Activision, is that not Call of Duty?
Call of Duty, yep.
Bethesda is
Doom and all of those games, yeah. Like Fallout.
EA is like all the Battlefields and
Battlefront,
Star Wars
games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just, Rockstar is, of course, of GTA 5 and, Red Dead Redemption. So it's just like, those massive titles with massive player bases are just off of this service. So we're not sure if like NVIDIA is price gouging because it was free for the publishers to be on it until it came out of beta. And now that's out of beta, everybody's
pricing sucks.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. We still know that Cyberpunk 2077 will be on GeForce Now, so that has been, we know that, but
paired up for that GPU as well. So,
yeah, it's just, it's kind of scary. Like, you wonder what's going on, because, like, again, these are like major studios that are just like pulling their games.
Yeah. I mean, you get enough to pull out and there's not going to be anything compelling there. This could be just go away.
I think it's $5 a month. Like, it's not a lot. Because again, you're just playing, you're paying for the cloud computing and streaming storage device in storage. It's like basically like a virtual server or virtual so, you know, but it's just like,
it's just, there's got to be something up. Yeah,
it's, yeah, something's going on there, which just seems a little odd to me. But talking about gaming, another big blow to another event that is the biggest gaming event, I believe. I can't imagine there's a bigger one than E3. Yeah,
no. I mean, Gamescom's pretty big, but.
Yeah, when it comes to games itself and game announcements, and like game trailers and everything, like E3 is the show, and it has been canceled. It was announced this morning, and it's canceled because of coronavirus, which makes sense. I think that, you know,
I think it's smart, and I feel like most of the time, like, you're jamming these people into these large
lines,
like. Lines and conference rooms and these like theaters to show them a big reveal video, and then maybe like having some of the designers or like the voice actors come in and talk. Like, you can still show that video, you can stream it, right? Of course,
I feel bad, and I saw a lot of this on Twitter. I feel bad for like the little developers who like just they're not even showing anything on the show, but they go for business meetings, right? Yeah. And they're not going to be able to do any of that because there's no show. So all those people that they're having meetings with aren't going to be there anyways. And I think that's the real detriment to it. I think that a lot of these companies are still going to have like a announce like a, you know, their E3 trailer. That's like the whole thing is like.
I entered a YouTube to watch it and people are still going to see it. It's
Yeah. So it's the first time in 25 years that it's been canceled. I think Computex is next. It just has to be, especially based on its location. I mean, you have to fly through major areas to get there. Like, you, it's going to be very hard to find a direct flight to Taiwan, right? That you're not going to.
Can you like take a boat?
Yeah, but like also, you know, you think like all the people that are coming there are coming from these other things. So I think Computex is next. It just.
Yep.
Everybody I know has like either they were going to buy flights and they haven't. You know what I mean? So, I just don't think that. Yeah, it's just not there. It's just not going to happen. But we'll see. But it sucks for E3. I always liked watching the press conferences, and then I always love seeing the trailers.
Yeah.
The last little piece of news is that, of course, when it comes to console gaming, there's always exclusives for the console. That's what sells your console, is having an exclusive game that everybody wants to play, so they go out and buy your console. But one of these exclusives is actually making its way to PC, and it's called Horizon Zero Dawn. I remember seeing this trailer at E3. I remember, because I remember this thing. And it looked awesome. It looked amazing, but it was like PlayStation exclusive. So I'm like, well, I'm not buying a PlayStation.
I saw some conversation on Twitter today, like, this was announced and some dude was just like having a fit that like he was so invested in the PlayStation world that the fact that PC gamers were going to have a chance to play this game now was like the end of his world
type, which is kind of weird, because I don't think we've seen it. Well, I guess Halo, yeah, that's like the first one,
and like PC always wheels, you know, those titles from like Rockstar, right? We're always waiting like a year or two to get them from the console to the PC. So we wait for those. But yeah, is there another like God of War, maybe?
That's what people are saying. Like, when's God of War coming to PC?
Yeah.
So the whole thought process is that maybe people, like maybe Sony is just like going to give us the PC gamers to be like, oh, okay, so this is the type of exclusive that's available on PlayStation. Maybe, you know, maybe I want to invest in the PlayStation ecosystem, or maybe I want to get a PlayStation 5 when it comes out. You know,
Gears of War. Shinny says Gears of War. Was that not playable on PC?
At no, all? It was. Gears 4, or was it 5? I don't know.
I didn't play any of them, so don't know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, so it's kind of cool. Like, this game looked awesome. The trailer, the trailer looked pretty badass.
If the other one that I loved, like a trailer, but I never played, was ReCore. It was like a ReCore. It was like, I think it was a Microsoft Studios game or something like that. But
yeah.
But yeah, Gears of War was definitely, obviously, yeah, exclusive to Xbox.
Like, yeah, but then it did come to PC because it was one of the first games.
It was on the
Gears of War 4, I believe it was 4, was one of the first games that used like all those new NVIDIA technologies when it came out. It was the first game to do it. It was because it was one of the first games to use DX12. And it was one of the first games to use all those new technologies that came in at that time. The official Steam page is up. It doesn't have a specific release date. It just says summer 2020. So I might pick it up. I don't know. And it is the complete edition, so you will get the Frozen Wilds expansion pack as well. I don't think there's a price on here. There's no price on this one. So that's pretty interesting. Cool. I might pick it up. I've been looking for a good single player game, so this could be it.
Yeah.
Pretty pumped about that as well. And we talk about what we have coming up next week. I'll be taking a look at a super fast, and you know I love these super fast portable SSDs.
I was gonna say, it's got to be a portable drive, right?
Yep. It is the Orco GV100, and this is just a small, super small portable USB 3.2 Gen 2. Okay.
Is it just an enclosure, or do they include
a drive? No, that's just
looked at some other enclosures previously?
Yes, I have one. It was plugged in. I don't know. It's right here.
But they've just been enclosures that you put.
This is the little enclosure. Yeah. So this is actually a portable NVMe SSD. Love these drives. I have so many. I love how small they are. I love how fast they are. I love Type C connections. Everything needs to go to Type C. It just makes things so much easier. This is an awesome little lightweight drive made of aluminum. It has this little ring on it, which I don't.
You're not showing it.
Oh, how about that? They're
just looking at us. There we go.
There it is. It has this little ring on it here, which is aluminum, but I can't imagine that.
Can you get like a key ring on there or anything?
I don't think I would put this on my key ring.
Too big? Or
not that it's too big. It's that like this, like I would have like important information on here.
Yeah.
If it would drop, or like, again, the connection is open.
Okay. Yeah. You don't want that just like banging around.
It's not covered. Yeah. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then I'll also be taking a look at a new wireless headset. This is the HyperX Cloud Flight S. It is wireless and it's wirelessly charging. So I have this Charge Playbase that they sent me with their gaming mouse, which is also here. So I'll be able to do this exact same setup that you guys see here. So I can charge my mouse and my headset on the same thing. Wireless, we all know that wireless typically doesn't sound as good. So I'll be testing that. Be playing a lot of games and having some fun with it as well. So, pretty pumped for that one as well. One thing I really was interesting is that it does use 2.4 gigahertz wireless, and it has a dongle. And the dongle is like as big as a USB flash drive. Like, it's really big, which is a little surprising to me. So, but I haven't installed anything yet, and I haven't tested it. But I'll let you guys know about that one next week. So, pretty excited for that. And then tomorrow, we're going to be on the Home Gadget Geeks podcast. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, we tried a couple weeks ago. Had some issues, but we still, we were on there for about an hour or so, just kind of like troubleshooting, BS. Yeah. So this time around, we'll actually get some chat in, maybe cover some of our latest reviews, just kind of talk tech in general.
I love talking tech with other people. Every week I get to talk to you, Ryan, I like to add people to the conversation.
Yep.
It's always good to, one, talk tech with other people, and two, like, get other people's opinions. I think that's the great thing about talking to different people, and like learning new things, because I'm sure those guys know things that I don't know about.
Their use case is so much different from us typically than, we're that enthusiast really focused on gaming most of the time, or just high performance, whereas they're like, I'm going to be building an Unraid box. And so like disk storage and, you know, network connectivity and efficiency, things like that may come into play more for them. So yeah, it's a good mix and different viewpoints on how we use technology. And
yeah, so pretty pumped to do that. That'll be two late nights for me, man. I'm getting old.
Late nights.
You guys are an hour.
Yeah, we are.
So you got an hour on me. But that is basically it. Oh, we also talk about if we did anything tech related this week. Did you?
I don't think so. No. I tried. I think I say this every week. I tried cleaning up my room and it didn't happen.
So, I've been playing
a lot of WoW. That's been the thing. I got another buddy. He signed up for it last night. So like, we played with him back in the day, and he's the one that actually got me into the game originally. Bought my copy of the game, and so I got him in.
That was the thing back in the day. Like, if you loved a game, but like, it's always better when you're playing with friends. So like, yes, you would buy your buddy the game,
and then you're like, well, now you have to play. Like, I've got to play because you just spent, you know, $50 or whatever on a game.
Yeah, I remember like buying my friends like StarCraft back in the day. Like, we had to go to the mall to buy the physical CDs of like StarCraft, and then like, then you'd have a buddy to play with, and it just made things so much better. So
yeah, Shenny says I'm recruiting people and forcing them to play. I wouldn't say it was like, I just mentioned that I was playing it, and like, he's like, oh, this is bad. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, I'm on the website, and oh, I got to cancel my Final Fantasy subscription first. And then like, before I know it,
you are that guy. Cause we were playing Apex last night, and we played a couple games. You're like, oh, I'm going to go play WoW now. So yeah. But you will be gaming after, after this. So you'll be on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. I didn't do anything tech related at all. I've just been
reviewing,
so working on that stuff. But some pretty cool reviews coming up as well, which we'll talk about next week. But for everybody here, we'll be ending things. So again, check out our Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Well, Ryan, are you gonna play WoW, or are you gonna play the new Call of Duty?
Well, I got the new Call of Duty downloaded while we were podcasting, so that's ready to go. I don't have a scene or anything set up for it in Streamlabs, so I'm probably not going to do that tonight, just because I want to get it up and going and
play
it. But like, that could be something for next week, where we hop into some Call of Duty, and like, it's free, so you could grab it.
Yeah, free. Week, but I think that's their big competitor, because all these great games besides PUBG are free, like Apex and Fortnite, and Apex and Fortnite. are free, so like, I think that's what they're doing. A lot of people have said they liked it. I think a lot of people are used to the online Call of Duty world, so it kind of makes sense for them to do it. So but yeah, so jump over there to again twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're gonna go ahead and end things here. As I always say, guys, we have our full list of show notes that has everything that we talked about. So again, if you're listening, you want to follow along, you can go ahead and do that. And it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting website or app. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.